more information as they begin to let that loose, and we'll have some more information for you later in the year. That may take up to 6 months for some of that to come through. But it is truly great to be a part of a body of believers who have missions on their mind. These things that you see on the side, the thing that you see behind us is the Great Commission. Reach up. That's the first thing. We got to reach up and have a relationship with God. We have to reach up and worship God. We have to acknowledge God. Reach in. That's where we learn. We become disciples. We become committed to Him. And we become committed to each other as a family. And then out of that comes the reach out, where we're able to reach out into the world and make a difference. See, I want this church to be such a church that if we were to go away, people would care. People would notice, and they would care because the difference that we make in our community that we live in, and not only in our community, but also throughout the world. And we're working on that vision, and part of it, only part of it, has to do with giving. Some of it has to do with volunteering and stuff like that, and prayer and all of those kind of things. So continue to be faithful in that, and I believe God is going to bless this church with the greatest year it's ever had. We have already had, so far this month, 5 people come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We had one in our service and 4 in Celebrate Recovery this just last Friday night. And that is awesome. There are churches that don't get that many saved in 5 years. And I'm not putting other churches down, but that's something that's important. That's part of our reach out. We want to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited about that as anybody else. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're continuing our series on the Spirit of the Lord's Prayer. And we've already talked about our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We talked about how that the real, what it really says in the Greek is our Father in the heavens, hallowed be your name. He is God in the heavens. He's not just off in heaven somewhere, but he is a God of the heavens. He inhabits and fills the heavens. He fills heaven his abode. He fills the celestial or the terrestrial heavens, and he fills the atmosphere around the earth. He is everywhere present. And it tells us that his name is to be hallowed. His name is to be set aside as something that is sacred. It is a name that it's to be obeyed by our lifestyle. But let me say this. If you go to heaven, did you know God's name is praised in heaven? There's angels, if that's all they do in heaven. I start to say 24 hours a day. They don't have days there. But throughout eternity, that's all they do. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. The angels are designed to be not only workers for those who are heirs of salvation, but there are angels that's all they do is they behold God and worship Him. His name is hallowed in heaven, His abode. And then if you go into the outer space reflects the glory of God. It really is. I don't know that there's anybody who lives out there. Okay, we're not going to get into that. But even the creation of the outer space, what is beyond the earth that we live in, it all reflects the glory of God. It all shines with His glory. And you come into the earth's atmosphere and you see the creation. I mean, have you ever noticed? Well, we got out and drove the other day on the snow. There was the snow on the trees and it was frozen and the sun was shining on it. And it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. You know what that does? That reflects the glory of God. Creation reflects the glory of God. The beautiful mountains, the things that God has made, every one of those things in some way turn around and reflect back God's glory. And it's a praise to Him. It really, creation praises the Lord in when it does what it was created to do It brings glory to God. Have you ever been somewhere? And maybe you were in nature somewhere and you just felt so close to God. Well, that's created to do that because it brings you into the awareness that there is a creator of all of these things. But in the earth, the very thing that was designed to reflect the glory of the creator is the only thing that was created in his likeness and image, and that is you and I. And the difference between us and the angels and the creation is they do what they were designed to do. You and I were given a free will. We can choose to or not to. We can choose to bring glory to God. We can choose to hallow the name of God, or we can choose not to. Well, sad to say, since the fall of man, mankind chose not to. And when we became separated from our Creator, you know, what happens when something is separated from its source of life? You go out in the spring and you pick a flower. When you pick that flower, you have separated it from its source. And at that point, it begins to die. It may live for a few days, but in essence, it's dead. Why? Because it's separated from its source. If it's left on its source, it will cycle its life and it will do what it's designed to do. If it's separated from its source, guess what? It doesn't live the cycle of life that it was designed to do because it was separated from its source. We were created by God. When God created us, He didn't speak to the dirt. He didn't speak to creation. He spoke to Himself. And He said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." We were created by God, for God, to really, more than anything else, to reflect His name and to reflect His greatness. And of everything that's been created, man has done the worst job of all of that. And it had to do with us being separated by the fall in the Garden of Eden from our source of life. It devastated us. It devastated us. Now, that's why Jesus had to come. He came to bring us back into relationship with God. He came to reconnect us to the source. He says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." What kind of life did he come to bring us? Natural life? Well, that. But eternal life, the Zoe life of God. He came that we might have that life. That's why He came and reconnected us to God. And then we are able to do the thing that we have been designed to do. We are able to hallow the name of God. We are able to complete the cycle. What the angels do in heaven, what creation does in the heavens, in the earth, guess what? We are capable of bringing glory to God. But guess what? We still have to choose that lifestyle. God never takes in this life our choice away from us. When you die, choice is gone. The thing that you chose in life is the choice that will be carried out in eternity. You'll either say in this life, "Father, your will be done," or He'll say in the next life to you, "Your will be done." And what you chose in life will be extended into the next life. And choice will be gone then. But guess what? Right now, we have choice. We were created by God. We were created for God. We were created to bring Him glory. You were not created for yourself. You were created for God. But He gave you the choice to choose if you were going to do that or not. And we all fell short. And we have all sinned because we are offspring of Adam. But not only that, we have chosen our own way also. We can't blame it all on Adam. Some of it's our fault. We chose the way of rebellion. And that leaves us in a particular area of our life where we need to be able to pray this second part of the prayer found in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 30 or verse 10. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, you can't pray that unless you're in the kingdom. This is a personal prayer that you pray from the standpoint of being in the kingdom. And this is a prayer that you pray about yourself. This has to do with you dealing with you. Okay? When we say, "Lord, your kingdom come," guess what? His kingdom is already here. His kingdom is where he's at. His kingdom is in heaven. His kingdom is in the heavens. His kingdom is in the earth. What we're doing is choosing whether we're going to participate in that kingdom or not. And when we say, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done," we're talking about our lives. Our lives and me. We're not praying that necessarily for someone else. We have to pray that for ourselves. But there's something that we need to come to. And I want you to go with me to Matthew 10. No, not that one. Matthew 5. Now, sometime I want to do a series on Matthew 5. This is what we call the Beatitudes. And there's this verse of Scripture in Matthew 5 that's kind of been confusing and has been misrepresented in a lot of ways. And one of the things it says in Matthew 5:3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we have interpreted that to say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or blessed are those who beat themselves up spiritually. Have you ever heard people beat themselves up spiritually? Here's this thing. "You know what? We're just no good. I'm just trash. I'm a worm. I'm unworthy." You know, all of those things may be true. But that's not what that's talking about. That's not what that's talking about. In the realm of man, there are several different attitudes that we have. And I call it the attitude of inferiority and the attitude of superiority. Now let's go back to what we were talking about a while ago. When man was separated from his source, guess what he did? He died spiritually. His life became chaos. He was incapable of producing anything in the kingdom. Now, on Wednesday night, and if you're not coming to Wednesday night, you should be coming. We're doing a series on the book of Genesis. And one of the things that we talked about, that when God on the first day said, "Let there be light," the earth was not ready to produce until about the third day, when God separated the waters from the water, and he separated the waters and he called them and made boundaries, and the earth came forth. At the early point of it, the earth was, the Bible says it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It couldn't do what it was designed to do because it was in a chaotic position. And it wasn't until light came and separation, light and darkness, and then the waters parted and the earth came forth, the dry land, until the seed could go into the ground. The seed couldn't produce until it could be connected with what its source, which was light. And that's the way we are. That when we were separated from God by our sin, we were separated from our life source. And our spirits became dead, not ceased to exist. Our spirits became separated from God. You need to know that, if you don't know, that death is separation. Death does not mean cease to exist. Okay? It means separate. When somebody dies physically, their spirit is separated from their body. Have you ever been to the casket and say, that's not really them? What are we saying? There's a separation that has taken place. That their spirit has separated from their body and they are dead. That doesn't mean that they don't exist anymore. They just exist somewhere else. They're not existing in their body. They're dead. And when man was separated from God, he was spiritually dead. His spirit was dead. And can I say to you that when he became dead, he could not produce the thing that he was designed to produce until something else happened. He was a spiritual bankrupt. He was spiritually poor. He was devastated in spirit. And when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That is the beginning place for us coming into the kingdom of God, that we have to realize that we were separated by God by our sin, and we are spiritually bankrupt. You say, well, why is that so important? Because in our society, we have a lot of self-sufficient people. And their ideal is, if I will just be good enough, if I will be a good person, if I just do church things, if I go to church, if I'm generous, if I give to the poor, if I do these things, then at the end of my life, God will bring me into His kingdom. That is not how you enter the kingdom. And we need to see that. When we come to God, we're spiritually bankrupt. We're poor in spirit. Why? Because we're separated from the life source. And the only way that you can get into the kingdom is it has nothing to do with any works that you can perform. You'll hear people say this when you talk to them out in the world. You'll hear people say this all the time. Well, you know what? I don't go to church, but I'm just as good as most church people. Or I just believe that God will take my good deeds and my bad deeds, and if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I'll be okay. They've just disqualified themselves from entering the kingdom. If they believe, you know, or if you, I might say this, you know what, I'm a better person than I used to be. I have just disqualified myself from entering the kingdom. Because I have made it about me. And the truth is about me, I was spiritually destitute, bankrupt, and I could not save myself. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is not to the haughty or the proud or those who think that they can go some other way. Now, something that's happening among a lot of our young people today, and this is something that the church has got to address, because a lot of our young people are being taught that there's several ways to get to God, that good people go to heaven just because they're good. That is not the Christian message. You don't go to heaven because you're good. Now, if you're a Christian, you should be good. Okay, we're not saying, you know, hey, be a Christian, live like a devil. No, we're not saying that. I don't have to say that. Some of them do that anyway. But what we need to realize is that getting into the kingdom begins with realizing your spiritual condition, that you're poor in spirit. I'm separated from God. I can't save myself. You know why most people come to God through some kind of crisis? I did. How many of you came to God because of something going bad in your life? A lot of us did. Now, some of you were raised in church and the whole deal, and you came to God through that. Wonderful. But a lot of us came to God because of some kind of crisis in our life. We had to come to the end of ourselves. Most of what we do in Celebrate Recovery, we deal with people who have, hopefully, they've hit bottom. That's what we call it in CR or in AA. They call it hitting bottom. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So they know that they can't change themselves. Well, that's not only true about people who use drugs and alcohol. That's true about all of us. You cannot do enough good stuff for God to look at you and say, you know what? You've earned your way. You've earned your way. You're good. You've done enough good things. You've done more good things than you've done bad things. And it completely does away with this comparison thing. Well, I'm better than I used to be. Or I'm better than so-and-so. Or you can say, I'm not as good as so-and-so. All of that goes away because the Bible says that entry into the kingdom, those who qualify for the kingdom are the poor in spirit. I needed a Savior. I could not save myself. I needed what God did for me. Because the gospel is not all about us. The gospel is all about Jesus and what He did for us. And when we accept that, guess what? When we come into the kingdom, are we poor in spirit anymore? No. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. We're no longer poor in spirit because we're in the kingdom because we have realized that we have been poor in spirit. Now, these are statements that I wanted us to look at and examine where it talks about, Lord, today your kingdom come. See, when you pray and you deal with God and you're in your daily life with God, don't get in this bargaining way with God. Well, Lord, you know, I've done this and I've done this good thing. And Lord, I want you to bless me. Let's make it based on what Jesus has done for us, not what we have done for ourselves. Because let me tell you, none of us measure up. None of us are good enough. Even though we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, we still have our stuff to deal with. We still fall short. We still need His grace. We still need His love. Can we walk victorious in life? Yes. Can we sow seeds and get blessing? Yes. But don't get in a merit situation with God. Are you poor in spirit anymore? No. You have been enriched by His Spirit. But listen, it's His Spirit in you that makes the difference. It is the connection. It's the divine connection that's been given you that'll cause you to overcome. Let's learn to live connected. Let's learn to live in that connection with God. That's the best way to live. Now, we'll go back someday and we'll do a series on what we call the Beatitudes. Now, go with me to the verse 20 of the same chapter. He makes a statement that a lot of people misunderstand about the kingdom. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? That almost sounds like you got to live a better life than what they do. Well, let me tell you something about the scribes and the Pharisees. They were legalists. They dotted every I and crossed every T. They studied the law. They added to the law. They were sticklers for the word. So are you probably going to live a better life than they do? Probably not. Does that disqualify you from the kingdom? No, because that's not what Jesus was saying. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom. What does it mean? Their righteousness was based upon the law code. Their righteousness was based upon whether or not they kept the law. They were, as I said, they were legalists. They dotted I's and crossed T's, and then they had room for pride, and they could say, you know what? I'm righteous. I live better than you do. I'm righteous, you're not. That's what he was saying. What kind of righteousness do we have? We have a righteousness that begins with spiritual poverty. We have a righteousness that's not earned. Let me ask you a question. Was Abraham justified by keeping the law, or was he justified by faith? He was justified by faith. He is the father of faith. He was justified by faith. Why was the law given? So that we could be righteous? No, it proved to us that we couldn't be righteous. And here these scribes and Pharisees were trying to live up to this law code, and they couldn't do it. They strained at gnats and swallowed camels. They put burdens on other people that they wouldn't lift with their own little finger. They fell short because they were trying to live by a law code. They were disqualified from the kingdom because they thought they had to earn it. What happens in the kingdom? We begin with spiritual poverty. From there, we realize that our righteousness is not an earned righteousness. It's an imputed righteousness. It is one that we receive by faith based on what Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. So how does our righteousness exceed their righteousness? It's because our righteousness is a free gift. Theirs is one that they think that they have to earn. Now, when you're praying about, Lord, today your kingdom come, your will be done, get out of your mind. Remember what Jesus said about the kingdom? It says the kingdom is at hand, so repent. Change the way that you think about the kingdom. Their kingdom was based around keeping the law. Our kingdom is based around grace through faith. It's not based around keeping the law or earning anything. It's based on a relationship with God that begins with, "Our Father who fills the heavens, hallowed be your name." When I say hallowed be your name, I'm saying, today, Lord, I want you, I want to hallow your name in my life. I want your name to be alive in me, Jesus. I want to obey you. I want to obey your words because I am in a relationship with you, Jesus. And that's not a merit system. That's a grace system. Because let me tell you why we have to have grace is because we still fall short. We're plagued with falling shorts. Some of you get that later. So unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't enter in because you can't earn it. And we have a mindset of Christians who think that that's the way it works. It don't work that way. It will frustrate you. Okay, Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, if we stop and thought about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, we would think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Too bad Gage wasn't in there, wasn't it? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. They're the great ones in the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be the great ones. Is that what Jesus said? Because we think of greatness as the ones who stand up and proclaim and do all of these righteous things. But that's not what Jesus said. Because we have an inverted society. Who are the great ones in our society, supposedly? Are the ones who do the great things. Our government. Well, I mean, our kings, our leaders, the ones who tell us what to do. They're the great ones because they do the great things and the rest of us are peons. But Jesus turned it upside down. Because he wanted people to understand what the kingdom is about. Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. Guess who was the greatest? He said, unless you become like a little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know where some of the greatest ministry is going on today? Right over there. Right over there where those little children are. Back there in the nursery where they're loving on those little kids. Back over in the buggy room where those little kids are playing. That's what the kingdom is about. And that is the kind of heart that you and I are supposed to have. Who's greatest in this kingdom? Is it me? No. Who is it? It's the one that's most like the child. And that's what we need to see and understand, that if we're going to be great in his kingdom, we're going to have to become like little children. We're going to have to be innocent in our hearts. We're going to have to, you know, little children believe easy. They love easy. They don't hold grudges. You know, you don't hear a lot of little kids gossiping. The only ones they tell on, you know who the only ones little kids tell on? Is their parents. My daddy slapped my mama today. You better behave. We'll find out about it. They'll know about it in children's church. You know what my mama did? Do you know what my daddy did? No, they're not gossiping. They're just telling what they see. But they don't gossip. They're not little bitty kids are not malicious. They come to that later. It tells us that we should be like that. That's what we should become like. Because that's who's going to be great in the kingdom. It's not the eloquent speaker. It's not the one that has the DM behind their names. It's not those who are powerful and those. They may not be the greatest. But it's those who take those things and become as little children and serve and love just like Jesus did. See, that's what we're after, is to have the same heart as the one who created us. Because our job is, fill the heavens, Lord, and I'm part of that heaven. Take my life, Lord, today. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In earth, in me, Lord, today, your will be done in me. May I reflect who you are to a lost and dying world. May I reflect who you are on my job, by the way I do my job, how I treat my fellow man. May I show who you are by the way that I pay my bills, the way that I interact in my society, by the way I love my wife, my spouse, my children, my grandchildren. Your kingdom come today in me, Lord. And we need to become as little children, because those are the ones who are going to be great in the kingdom of heaven. It's not the proud. It's not those who have something to prove. It's those who humble themselves. And that's where we need to be. That's how you get in, and that's how you prosper in the kingdom of God. And you know what? When we talk about giving, see, if you have the attitude of little children, you know who got the most excited about our well project? It's our children. They liked just $20 sponsoring their own well. And they were excited. They were out. And they wanted those other little children to have clean water, pure of heart. And they wanted to give. They gave their piggy banks. They dipped into their savings. They went out and asked people to help. They were little children. They gave for the joy of giving. They gave out of love. That's the way we ought to be. Well, I don't want that preacher to get my money. This preacher don't get your money. I don't write checks. I don't count money. I don't handle money. I spend it some. But I don't get your money. And if you think that, you ought to keep it. If you can't, you ought to give for the right reason. That's the only way that giving works the way it's designed to do. It's the attitude in which you give that produces the return on your giving. It's not the amount. It's not the soil that you sow it in. It's the soil of your heart that you sow it in. It's your attitude that's the soil for your return. If you do it stingy, then it's going to diminish your return. If you do it free-heartedly and out of love, it's going to enhance the return on your giving. And we do have to give and receive. That's the way it works. You know what? When you go out in the spring and you plant a garden, you know what you go do after that? That's giving. You're putting seed in the ground. And you know what you do when it grows up? You go out there and pick it. That's when you take. It's sowing and reaping, giving and taking. That's what the whole kingdom operates on. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but we're out of time for right now. Let's pray. Prayer team, would you come? I feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to some people today about their spiritual condition. And I believe this is very important that you listen to this. Your spiritual condition is the most important thing in your life. Maybe you just thought you thought you were a good person, and because you're a good person, that merited you something. See, you've got to come to the revelation that you're a spiritual destitute and that you need God. So I'm going to challenge you today to take that step of faith and come to Jesus, because He is the only one who can make you rich. If you don't realize that today, then you're still poor. Father God, in Jesus' name, speak to our hearts. Speak into our lives, Lord, that we can see our need of You. And Lord God, minister by Your Holy Spirit to people today in this place. Your healing power, Your grace, Your mercy, Your peace, whatever it is that they need, minister that to them today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you come? Whatever your need is today, come to the Lord right now.